spending time with Howard Crosby, Bing Crosby's nephew. And so, welcome, Howard.
Good well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here at KPBX Studios in Spokane, Washington.
And glad to have you right here with us, too, for this great event on Saturday. It's the Film Festival, but, of course, as great as it is to have all the films, we need some live music, too. So in the late afternoon, early evening, we will have this performance with the Zonkey Jazz Band at 5:30, and then you joining in a little bit after to sing some things. But let's just jump right into your childhood of having this uncle named Bing. What was it like growing up with Bing Crosby as an uncle?
Well, obviously it was very, very interesting. I grew up here in Spokane. My dad was the brother that never sort of left, pretty much stayed here most of his career. He worked as an executive for the Washington Water Power for about 20 years and then did other various things. And so I grew up in the Spokane Valley and went to parochial school out at St. Mary's Elementary. I do remember my first day of school in the first grade. At recess, the other kids were circling around and they were all kind of whispering and pointing at me. And finally, one of them came over and said, is it true that your uncle is Bing Crosby? And I said, well, yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, it was not something that at that time, as a six-year-old, I particularly understood the impact of it.
But in a way, that's kind of nice. So you were able to slide into that, understand that's how it was going to be, and probably for the rest of your life, just understand that people were going to react that way to you.
Yeah, and it surprises me that even today, you know, he's been gone for over 40 years, and I still get asked sure. from time to time. And sometimes when I'm feeling in a little bit of a smart aleck mood, somebody will ask me, well, so just exactly how are you related to Bing Crosby? And I'll say, well, it's like this. You see, his parents, well, they're my grandparents.
Perfect. But obviously a musical affinity there. Was that from the whole family tradition of doing music, or was it just kind of randomly you did music and Bing did music?
My grandparents actually met in a choir in Tacoma. My grandmother was she was an Irish girl, but she was a huge fan of musical theater of the day, Gilbert and Sullivan mm-hmm. and the like. And my grandfather played the mandolin and the banjo and sang in a choir. And so as children growing up, you know, this was even before the days of radio in their early childhood. They would gather around after dinner and grandpa would play his instruments and the kids would sing. And and my grandmother loved musical theater of the day. So there was music around the Crosby household in Spokane in the early part of the 20th century.
That's the way music's supposed to be in families and houses, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, it was it sort of came naturally in that generation for sure.
And so what about your own childhood and growing into music? What was your path?
Well, you know, I didn't, my mother tried to give me piano lessons and I wouldn't practice because my plan as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old was I was going to play for the Dodgers. And the Dodgers didn't need anybody that could play the piano. They needed somebody that could hit. But as it turns out, the Dodgers weren't looking for somebody that could turn a stand-up triple into a sliding double with my blazing lack of speed. So that was, my baseball career was short-lived at the end of high school. And I didn't really get into music seriously until I was in my late 20s and started singing in a choir. Mm-hmm. But we had music around the house all the time. My dad always had, he would be, you know, working out in his greenhouse with the transistor radio on playing the classical music station. He was a huge fan of classical music. And, of course, we had Bing's records around the house, and we played them all the time at Christmas time, of course, like everybody did.
So there you were in your 20s singing in a choir. Did people say, hey, Howard, you sound good. Why don't you take this solo? Was it kind of like that?
It was almost like that. I was living down in Richland at the time, and the choir director, after just a few weeks, you know, she had me doing solos, cantering solos mm-hmm. and different things. And so I did that for a lot of years, was a cantor in a parish church many times. So over the years. So that's kind of how I got started. And then When I moved to Walla Walla in 1999, I hooked up with the fellow who will be playing the piano with me Saturday night at the Bing Crosby Theater, Randy Caping, who's a musical genius. And he's one of these fellows that, you know, you can, he can listen, he probably knows 2,000 songs just to sit down and play them without anything. But he's one of these people that can listen to a song once that he's never heard and play it immediately exactly as he heard it and then say, but, you know, that's in C. It's going to work better for you if we put it in B flat, and he'll just transpose it on the fly.
Yeah, it's great to have a
remarkable talent.
Yeah, like that, working with you. So about then your own taste and choices and, you know, what you've chosen to sing now in your career, is it informed by the fact that you have the legacy of that name?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, well, like Saturday night at the Bing, at the film festival, you know, we're just going to do about 30 minutes of songs that were made famous by Bing. And we'll finish with some of his Christmas songs, of course. But we'll just highlight some of the songs, you know, from the early part of his career, some of the jazz-oriented stuff. Because, you know, he really started out as a jazz singer in the 20s and early 30s.
And so then when you do it, and I haven't happened to hear you yet, and I certainly looking forward to doing that, then do you try to sing like Bing? Do you try to invoke Bing, or is it Howard Crosby singing those songs?
You know, I don't think it works too well to imitate somebody. But I have been told by a lot of people, they say, oh, I hear a little bit of Bing in your voice. You sound a bit like him. And I usually tell them to check their hearing at that point. But I will say this, if there's a song that he did, I'm probably going to want to do it in exactly the same key. You know, our range is similar for sure.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
And I remember thinking also when I was a kid, you know, I had the nuns at the parochial school, and they would have choir practice, and they had the little black thing that they would blow the pitch pipe,
right,
you know, to get you started. And I even remember thinking as a kid, you know, why do they do that? Doesn't everybody know what the first note is?
Mm. Oh, so you happen to have perfect pitch?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's all these things are helpful when you decide to start using them. So when we think about, just from a straight musical sense of Bing's singing, how do you define what made that exact singing so appealing to a whole world?
Well, I mean, aside from the fact that he had a beautiful instrument, I think there's several things. Number one, and this is Gary Giddens has highlighted this in his classic biographies of Bing, that he had a perfect sense of time. And so because his timing was so perfect, he could take liberties within the measure and always come back to the one beat. So that was element number one, was his perfect sense of time. And then on top of that, you know, he had the ability to create emotion with the phrase that was uniquely his, I think.
Nice. About the first thing, he had himself had been a drummer, hadn't he?
Yes, he was a drummer with Al Rinker back in the early days when he was in college at Gonzaga University. He and Al Rinker hooked up and had a little act around town here, and they actually played at the Clemmer Theater when it first opened in 1916, which is now known as the Bing Crosby Theater. But that he and Al Rinker performed there back in the day, and he played the drums and sang, and Al Rinker, you know, was a musician.
Nice. Howard Crosby, who is performing late in the afternoon, probably right around 6 o'clock or so, but that musical set starts at 5:30 at the Bing Crosby Holiday Film Festival this Saturday. It begins at 10:30 in the morning with White Christmas and concludes with the final showing of White Christmas at 7:30 at night. So it will be an all-day event, including memorabilia and things like that, and things from the Bing Crosby house, and so the whole celebration. Have you done most? They've been doing this for a few years. Are you able to sing at most of these, or is it just every now and then?
No, I think I've only missed maybe 1 year in the last mm-hmm. 4 or 5 that we've done this. You know, my I've gotten to know Bill Stimson, who's kind of the friend heads up the Advocates of the Bing, and that's been a great treat to do that. And then the last couple of years, I've been fortunate to bring this wonderful Irish trio the next night.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about Affinity.
Well, it's three wonderful Irish musicians. They're all masters in performance music. One of them is a harpist, one is a violinist, and then there's a beautiful soprano. And they put on a wonderful show that we call A Celtic Christmas. So they will be on Sunday night at 7 o'clock at the Bing as part of a eight-city tour that we're doing over the next 2 weeks.
How did you ever run into these people?
Well, that's an interesting story there. I was in Ireland in 2012 and was invited to be part of a show at the National Concert Hall with another fellow I knew who was a piano player, and his sister was sort of organizing this event. And they had the lady who'd won Britain's Got Talent as the headliner in the show, and then they had three or four other little acts in the first part of the show. And so I got on and I did about three of Bing's Irish songs, you know. And then right after I was on, the Affinity Girls came on and did three songs. And I remember thinking, well, I'm sure glad I went before them and not after them. And they actually were better than the headliner. They're just an amazingly talented group. And Emer's voice is, if there's a better soprano in the world, I can't possibly imagine who it would be. She's just has an absolutely angelic voice. So it's a unique act. They call themselves a classic crossover group because they do everything from, they can do opera songs to all the way to pop songs and with their own flair of harp and violin.
So we have the Bing Crosby Festival all day Saturday the 14th, and on Sunday the 15th it will be the Affinity Group. So a great weekend of music. Well, thanks for letting us know about all this.
Oh, thanks, and it's a pleasure to be here at KPBX this morning.